In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
And in our soul.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we read and comment on this gospel reading about the demoniac and the pigs three times a year. And this year, or this time of this reading, I'm going to be referring to our baptismal service. But before I do that, before I show how this gospel relates to a very important part of our baptism service, I would like to state the obvious, and that is that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee and left his very comfortable home in Capernaum, with all the Jews around there, and a very lovely place it was, even geographically. He crossed and went to the Gadarenes, a place where people raised pigs, and where the geography, the land, was not very nice either. It was a ragged, jagged place. And you wonder, why did Jesus do that? Why did he go to the Gadarenes? Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did he come here? He came to save us. He came to show God's love. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So why did he go across the sea to the Gadarenes? He went to save them. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us that we were just like that demon-possessed man. He says that we were without Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That demoniac was without hope. He was without God. He lived in darkness. He cut himself with knives and stones. They put bonds on his hands, they chained him down, and he would break them. He was possessed. He was without God, he was without hope in the world. He represents all of us Gentiles. He represents us Gentiles. I know a few months ago I said, all of us here are Gentiles, right? None of us grew up as Jews. Well, I don't know if I said that on a Wednesday when we had our midweek liturgy or if it was a Sunday, but then Elena Maher said, just a minute, got a Jew here. She, it was her grandmother was a very faithful Jewish woman, and her mother then was a Jew at one point. But anyway, Christ came, and what happened after he encountered the demoniac? The man left his darkness. He left the chains, and he sat calmly at Jesus' feet. The Apostle Paul says that we who were afar off have been brought near. We who are far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. And that demoniac was brought near to Jesus, who came to him. One could say that Jesus came as judge. He certainly judged, didn't he? He demanded that those demons leave. He came to judge that demoniac. Why? To save him. When God comes into our life as judge, to throw out the garbage and to free us from all that enslaves us, he comes powerfully as judge, people, because he loves us. Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but to condemn every evil power in this world that holds us in chains. to darkness. Sometimes we are comfortable in our darkness, right? Sometimes we are comfortable in our darkness. We would just as soon Christ left us alone and just came to us as a nice teddy bear. And we'd just say, oh, you're fine just the way you are. Don't worry. I love you. But he comes as judge. He comes as judge. Thank God he comes as judge. The loving judge. You've probably heard me say this many times. I would rather be in the hands of God, my judge, because I know he loves me, than in the hands of anybody who we want to say, oh, Father, you're such a nice guy. I need the sanctifying love of Christ my Savior, who comes as my judge. Well, having said that, it's kind of an introduction to what I want to point out in our baptismal service. In all three synoptic gospels, there is a chronology of events that are exactly the same. And you don't find that very often in the gospels where you have, well, this time we have four different events that are lined up exactly the same in all three synoptic gospels. And the first one is when Jesus gets into the boat and he crosses the Sea of Galilee, leaves Capernaum, and goes across the Sea of Galilee to the Gadarenes. That's the first event that we find that introduces this one. And you remember what happened there? Jesus got into the boat and he was resting. And they were about to capsize because the winds were so high and the waves were coming in the boat. It was a chaotic experience. It was more than that. It was a very life-threatening experience where nature had turned against Christ and was, you know, it's like the devil was going to try to drown him. Anyway, do I really believe that? I believe that. I believe that sometimes the demonic world of spirits and powers, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities and powers. There are powers out there. Well, remember what Jesus did? He said, he rebuked the wind and the waves, said, peace, peace, be still. And there was calm. And what did the disciples do? What did they say? They said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? That was the question. He gets over to the Gadarenes and he confronts the demons in this man. And all of a sudden, if the disciples are listening, they hear the answer. Who is this? The demons say, why are you here, O Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God? Oh, that's who it is. This Jesus who can tell the winds and the waves to be calm and throw the demons out of us, he is the Son of God who comes with power and authority over everything that threatens us in life. Nature, the forces of nature, or the forces, the spiritual powers that we wrestle against in our own bodies and minds. Speaking of minds, I hear that there's a very nice display and kind of a program that's highlighting the brain, the human brain in Grand Rapids. What is it? Is it the museum?
The public museum.
At the public museum in Grand Rapids right now, they're having a special display and a program describing the human mind. I guess it's fascinating. My friend Fred, who I like to ride bike with now and then, he said, oh, you ought to go see it. It's fascinating. Well, anyway, Jesus is Lord and brings peace to the chaotic mind and to our chaotic heart and soul, just as he does in nature. Well, why is it that I said I wanted to point out some things here in our baptismal service? It's because of this. The Orthodox Church, in its wisdom, when it baptizes anybody, it first goes through a time of exorcism with the new convert or the new initiate. There is an exorcising service, a service of exorcism. You know where they get that from? Right here. Right here. And the symbolism is beautiful. It's in the waters. And I don't know if you've been to an Orthodox baptism service. Do you notice how the priest is working over those waters in the baptismal font? My goodness, all kinds of prayers and exorcising the demons out of the water, putting that holy oil in there. Boy, you got to get this water just right. Well, it was the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus goes over the sea. And those waters are turbulent. He's fighting them. He gets across the sea safely. And then, it's right alongside that sea where he meets the demoniac. Another encounter with the demons. So, think of that. When you see a baptism in the baptismal font, think of the waters and how Jesus crossed those waters, encountered the devil when he was doing that. And then right at the edge of the waters, he encounters that spiritual encounter with the demons. And we, in our services, before we unite the new initiate to Christ, we exorcise the demons. That's what Jesus did. And, by the way, we have a new liturgy book that we follow. And it used to be that we only had one or one and a half prayers of exorcism. But we're trying to catch up with the Russian Orthodox Church, I think. And because about a year and a half ago, I went and I was a part of the baptism of our grandson. I think it was Omar Anthony. Yes, it was. It was Omar Anthony at the Russian Orthodox Church. And I said, come, let's do it together. So we did the service together. And we started reading those prayers of exorcism. And I thought, oh my goodness sake, you guys, how many prayers of exorcism do you have? Well, the Russians like to do it the long way. And, so we had long prayers. Well, in our new book, we're catching up with them. We've got four prayers of exorcism now that we pray before the initiate is united to Christ. He's cleansed of the devils. He's brought out of darkness before he's united to Christ. It's really beautiful. And I'm not going to read all those prayers or we would really be here late. I mean, it's a long service. But anyway, it starts, of course, everything starts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the first exorcism, I'm just going to read parts of it. Be rebuked and depart, for I adjure thee by that one who walked upon the surface of the sea. Do you see the imagery? That one who walked upon the surface of the sea as on dry land and rebuked the stormy winds. Be afraid, come out, withdraw from this creature, and do not return again. Come out and depart from this creature with all thy power and thine angels. You see the imagery? He who rebuked the stormy winds, he rebukes you. And now, depart. Recognize thy vain power, which did not have authority even over swine. Now we're on the other side of the sea and we're dealing with this passage we read this morning. Remember him who commanded thee at thy request to enter the herd of swine. And then we pray to God. Do thou thyself, O God, redeem also this thy creature from the bondage of the enemy, and receive him into thy heavenly kingdom. Release and redeem this thy creature from the bondage of the enemy, the forces of darkness that hold us captive. And then the initiate gets to the point after hearing all these exorcisms. Then the priest says, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his worship and all his angels and all his pomp? And the initiate says, I renounce Satan and all his works and all his worship and all his angels and all his pomp. Of course, you've got to say that whole thing three times. And then he says, hast thou renounced Satan? I have renounced him. You've got to say that three times again. Now, after the exorcism, you know, the demoniac, after he was exorcised, he sat at Jesus' feet in calm and in peace. Now we come. Dost thou align thyself with Christ? I align myself. Three times. Are you glad that Jesus is your judge? Aren't you glad that we have a judge who has all power in heaven on earth? And he is with us to conquer and destroy our enemies. And chief among our enemies is Satan and his host of wickedness. That doesn't mean that after we've been baptized, it's just free sailing. The devil, he has been kicked out, but he's going to come and he's going to bother us as much as he can. But he cannot touch us. He can't get inside of us. He can't even get in here if we say no. Put the sign of the cross over. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you think he has mercy? Do you think he hears your prayers? Of course he does. But too often we let him in and we follow him. May we renew our union with Christ, asking him for his grace and his Holy Spirit to cast out the forces of darkness within us, who are arrayed against us. You know, if we let him in, we got to get him out. He's there. Did Jesus come to save you? Did he come to make you whole, to redeem you, to purify you, to cleanse you? Of course. All you have to do is ask him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Thank you, Lord, that you've come as judge. Judge my heart, the heart of all of us here this morning. Not to condemn us. Remember, Jesus didn't judge and destroy the man. He judged and destroyed the demons. Open your heart up to him. And let the darkness depart. Let the light of Christ shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.